The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by Luke. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than the rest of you? By no means. But I tell you, if you don't change, you will perish just as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than the rest of you? By no means. But I tell you, if you don't change, you're going to end up the same way." And then he told them a further parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now, I've come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why exhaust the soil?" He said to them in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, then you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. Although this gospel certainly deserves comment, I have to use this occasion to preach on the first reading, because this first reading from Exodus is really where the whole Bible begins. This is how it starts. It doesn't start with Genesis. That's written much later than this. This is the founding event that creates the Jewish history and the Jewish people and out of which we came. So we have Moses, and if you remember the background, he's a murderer on the run. So we don't have a perfect person here by any means. And the only job he can get is taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. So he's out in the desert watching the sheep and approaches what will become the holy mountain, the mount called Horeb. And there it says that an angel of the Lord appeared flaming out of a bush. They can't imagine God entering into this ordinary physical world. So they create these mediators called angels. They can't say God could be in a bush. Now you're free to know that, because you know God is everywhere. But they create the same story. They put the angel there. But here is the real point. That he looked on, and he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So this is the famous spiritual experience that this man has in the desert, this man called Moses. He says, "I must go over and look at this remarkable sight and see what is happening. How is this burning and yet not burning up?" Whenever you encounter the holy, the divine, God, there will always be mystery to it. It's never something you can explain or rationally understand. So here he has this paradox of something burning but not burning up. In other words, it's an eternal flame, an eternal fire. And he approaches this burning bush, and he hears the voice now from God, "Moses, Moses." So we always, sooner or later, I hope, in each of your lives, you feel in some event or circumstance God addressing you. And you have to say, "Present, I'm here." God can't talk to nothingness. You have to be there. You have to matter. You have to say somehow, "Present and accounted for." And sure enough, he says, "Here I am." But then God says, "Don't come any closer." Now this is classic spiritual experience. You're drawn into it, and yet the closer you get, the more scary it becomes. How could I be worthy of something as wonderful as this? And Yahweh says to him, "Come no nearer." In fact, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. There's so much that we could comment on, but let me just say this, that notice this is happening in nature, out in the ordinary world, in the middle of Moses' job. This doesn't happen in a temple, in church. It's the middle of ordinary human experience, just like you and I have every day. And then the voice from the bush continues, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And as the realization becomes more real, Moses hides his face, for he was afraid to look on God. Yet very shortly, if you follow the rest of the book of Exodus, the Bible will claim that this is the only man in their history who ever saw God face to face. And after he faces God, he has to put a veil over his face because he's shining and people can't look at him. He reflects the mystery that he has experienced, which is exactly what happens to anyone who has a God experience. You start becoming like the God you worship. You reflect. All holiness is reflected holiness. Sometimes people have asked me what my definition of a Christian is. My definition of a Christian, it might not sound like one, is someone who's met one. Once you've met an authentically loving, transformed, and holy human being, you can't help but let them rub off on you. You become like them. And that's how the mystery is passed on. Not by catechism classes, that's just to get you started. Not even by coming here to Mass and enduring my sermon. That's just to get you interested, we hope. But finally, all knowledge of God is first-hand experience. They used to say God has no grandchildren, only children. Each generation has to know for itself the burning bush and the voice from the fire and the voice that draws you and yet lets you know, I'm not worthy. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. But this is only the first half of the story. We could just stay there and worship the burning bush. But immediately after the experience, God says to him, "I have witnessed the affliction of my people in Egypt." Immediately, the experience of God has political, social, economic implications for history. Don't say it's just about going to church more, if it doesn't change your life out there. And we're so aware of this in these days of endless and seemingly silly political debate. And we see that the Christianity we claim seems to have little effect in the way politicians talk. We can talk lies directly. We can talk about nothing. What we've seen in the last 6 months is an entire world of immature language, the way teenage boys talk. And we're subjected to it on television. It's as bad as pornography. If your children are watching this, apparently they think, this is the way human beings, this is the way adults talk to one another. You can tell. Our so-called leaders have had no burning bush experience. There's been nothing that has humbled them and has taught them to take off their shoes. You're standing on holy ground. When you don't know you're standing on holy ground, when you think the world is just here for your taking, you say some very stupid and childish things. And it's very sad that the amount of churches this country has, the amount of universities and colleges and supposed education we're capable of, and we can't produce a better level of conversation than we are subjected to. But it's not their fault, I guess. They don't know what Moses knew. And Moses, who's had this wonderful experience, spends the rest of his life trying to be obedient to that experience and confronts the Pharaoh to liberate his people. And that story of liberation, that Exodus, becomes the Jewish religion out of which you and I came. But have no doubt, it all begins with an act of liberation. Liberation of, first of all, Moses' heart, but then the liberation of an entire people. Let's pray and hope we can experience that same kind of truth, that same kind of love, and that same kind of liberation in our own lifetime.